Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is John Rialli, executive in residence at Texas Medical Center Innovation and managing director of Integrated Capital. JR joins me for a two-part podcast series discussing his career in Houston innovation. In this first episode, we talk about the days of co-founding Station Houston and the impact it had on the city of Houston, as well as his work as an investor in innovative businesses in Houston and beyond. JR, thanks so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you.
Natalie, I'm excited. Good afternoon.
Well, we've been talking about doing this for a while, and so it only makes sense that we really do it big and do this two-part series. And so just to start, let's go back to your origin story. I mean, you have had such a long history in Houston innovation, and a lot of people know your face and know what you've done in the past and what you do now, but let's go way back. Tell me about the first job you've ever had.
Yeah, Natalie, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be with you for this two-part series. So let's see, I found my way to Houston on my 24th birthday. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and grew up in Staten Island. But my first job, I think I was like 12 or 13. And one of my classmates and I, we bought a newspaper route. And we delivered the Staten Island Advance in my hometown, in my neighborhood of Eltingville. And, you know, it just meant waking up early or after school delivering newspapers. But, you know, my other neighbors delivered the New York Daily News. And I'll say, like, one of my first learnings that I reflected on years ago is when we used to go collect. So this is way back when. So this is the 1980s. And you'd go from like door to door to collect. And I'd go with my neighbors, you know, either David or Michael. My friend Joey and I had this newspaper route. But when we go collect, we would try to sell the other person's newspaper. So if you're getting the Daily News, here's why you should get the Staten Island Advance. If you're getting the Advance, here's why you should get the News. And then after a while, you know, we started asking folks if they needed their cars washed or their pools cleaned. And I think like the larger thing we learned was about, you know, cross-selling and then upselling, but just really the power of having a customer and having the opportunity to figure out, you know, what else can you do for them? So that came, I think I was like 12 or 13, something like that.
Wow. So an entrepreneur from age 12 or 13, way back then. That's really interesting. I think you can always tell with someone's like career if they've got that entrepreneurship in their bones, right? If they have stories like that. So that's really interesting. So yeah, so tell me about what brought you to Houston and how you got your footing here.
Yeah, so after college, like I went to college wanting to work on Wall Street. My dad worked on Wall Street. I grew up actually in high school. One of my uncles led a trading company in the commodities exchange, trading gold and silver options in the World Trade Center. So this is in the So this is the early 90s, you know, and when I wasn't in school, I would go work with my Uncle Anthony at Tower Trading of New York City, and just really fascinated by the market. So getting out of school, I wanted to work for a bank. I had some internships at Morgan Stanley. I was fortunate. I got a job offer coming out of school. It wasn't the job I wanted, but it was a foot in the door of the place I wanted to be. So that was a good learning. And then when I was 23, and then literally moved here on my 24th birthday. This is in 2000. I got recruited. I was really fortunate. There was a team at Morgan Stanley in the private wealth management division. Willie, Robert, Kevin, who recruited me. And, you know, it was like a fun story around that. But I was really fortunate. They had recruited from our group. Their moniker was they wanted PhDs. People who were poor, hungry, and driven, and just really learned about, you know, just really reinforce a work ethic, you know, and Willie Langston would always reflect on, you know, more of like a broader ethos about being excellent. So, you know, that was something my analyst partner and I, Luke Hoffman, you know, I think that was something that got ingrained in us about like really working and doing like being intentional to try to like drive, you know, the best that we had in ourselves as a team. Yeah. So I worked with them when I was 24 at Morgan, you know, was here for, you know, 9/11, which had a lot of impact coming from New York, working in the World Trade Center, you know, where I grew up. And then I was fortunate, we wound up leaving Morgan Stanley and starting an investment management firm. You know, I was kind of the low man on the totem pole, but learned just a lot, just great experiences in building a company here in town called Avalon Advisors, which has gone on to have a lot of success, you know, massive investment management and advisory firm, you know, based in Houston, you know, and I think manages about $10 billion.
So tell me a little bit about that, you know, period in time where you started hearing about or being attracted to the startup world and innovation. You know, was this always something on your career plan? What changed to really launch you into the space?
You know, if you go to my LinkedIn profile, the only thing it probably says is that I can't hold job. But it, you know, I got involved with startups. I was working at a software company, probably 2008, 2009 or so is my first software company. And it was on the operating side. I went on to go work for and with a venture capital firm that was spun out of a family office that I had done some work with. And that's really like led me to get curious and involved with the Rice Alliance for Technology and Entrepreneurship led by Brad Burke and his team. You know, and that I think has been like the gateway and probably the gateway for so many people in Houston over the years. You know, as I credit Brad and just really proud to be part of that organization, is it's been the most consistent organization of bringing people together in our community and doing things to expand our community. And, you know, and for that, I'm grateful because I've met so many friends. It had a big impact, you know, and has, it continues to have a big impact on my life. So like that was the part of like that maybe got me more engaged and involved with things that were happening, you know, more broadly than just in whatever kind of operating role I was in.
Absolutely. I think that gateway note is very important. You know, it is interesting to look at how people kind of have that entry point, whether they're coming from the entrepreneur side or the investment side, what piques that interest originally. And then tell me about how that, you know, transitioned from like this interest to Station Houston.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, so I'm working in this operating role. I was working for a company, a software company in San Antonio. I was commuting every week. And if anyone who knows me well, the thing I dislike the most is driving. And I used to drive to San Antonio every week. But when that train stopped and I found myself looking for, you know, people and things to do here in Houston, it was really challenging. You know, I think I got curious. I had spent some time with Emily Keaton, who was, you know, really the person who was like exploring this idea of Station. And then she started doing some work with Blair Giroux. And, you know, there's like a bigger story around Station. But I just got curious and I wanted to help. I had a hard time, like, you know, connecting with people. I think the thing that, like, besides the Rice Alliance, I think the other thing that really made an impact at the time was Surge, that Kirk Coburn and Sarah Groen launched, you know, probably in, I don't know, 2012 or so, it was 2011. And that was like a real sense of community of bringing people together, you know, around like meeting other founders and working with founders or being able to help. And I think like there was a lot of different parts of like trying to take that energy and community, you know, that we found, you know, from Surge. And then like just really taking some different parts of different models of, you know, just being curious around, well, you know, how do you activate a community and how do you like, how do you bring founders together? How do you bring other people together in a way that would be impactful? And, you know, and that's like, I think like the evolution of what Station was. And I think our big insight, you know, was ultimately around two things. You know, one, I think we had a great empathy for how lonely it is to be a founder, you know, how challenging it is, and just being around other folks and just You know, I think like just building an authentic community to where folks wanted to be, where folks really felt supported, or they felt like it was relatable about what they were trying to figure out. The other thing over time, so like I think that was the original part when we launched out of the Surge Shack over in Midtown. And then I think like the bigger insight we had then in like later 2016, 2017 was this idea of like separating space from like the services or like the things that like founders need, especially in a big city like Houston, where people live, like, the city's like the size of Greece where you're going next week, right? Like it's just a massive community. So it's like, how do you connect like the things that like are centric to like, you know, how do you learn? Where do you get access? Where could you really like get support versus where you work, you know? And that was something that I think like, as we were building more of a productized service and, you know, that's where, you know, Roberto Montezuma from Fractal River, he came in and he really helped. He helped us take that, you know, that vision or like that, that concept, you know, into action. And it was really kick ass. I mean, it was really fun. It was really fun to watch, you know, our team just really create something awesome. Like the team at Station, like they were the ones who did like all the great things that made and like energized that community.
I think what you're describing is such a accurate portrayal of the challenge of Houston. It's a huge city. It's a very innovative city, but it's disjointed. And so there was never like a meeting ground for those until Station. And I think something else unique about Station from my observation is too that everyone in like knew about it and they still know about it and they still talk about it and the impact it had. So what do you think went into that, the impact that Station had? Like what were the factors that made it what it was at that time? It was so needed.
I think it was the mission and the people. You know, our mission was really simple. It wasn't like this gobbledygook of lots of words. It was like to serve entrepreneurs. That was our mission. We knew who we wanted to serve. We knew it meant a lot of different things. And I think like for the people who were part of that community, whether they were on the team or they were members, like I believe that that was authentic. And I think that like really activated folks to care. We had amazing mentors, people who wanted to be part of the community, people who like, you know, from other parts of, you know, maybe working with larger corporations or universities or so wanted to be part of that because of feeling aligned or connected to that mission. So I think that was a big part of it. And then I think it was just the people. I think one of the things that Station did was give the members a platform to connect with other folks. I mean, one of the most impactful, programming series was, I think it was called the Member Drawing Board or Drawing Board or something like that. And that was, you know, Joe Allipat from WineGuard and Vincent and Daniela Wise from our team and some other folks where it's just about like activating the community. And the community would just like kind of run with it. They would come to each other with issues, with problems, other stuff. I mean, just organize like these like pitch days. And, you know, and a lot of times we would just like, all right, we'll just go buy the beer and pizza or do stuff. But we just gave folks a platform, you know, to be able to work through stuff together and figure out how to help. I mean, that was special, you know, to be part of, to see it happening, you know, and there have just been some kick-ass founders who spent a lot of time and really helped and supported each other through Station. And that was, you know, just, it was really exciting to be part of that and to like see, you know, really how our team was able to like execute to make, you know, to put that scaffolding in place, you know, for the community to flourish.
So around the same time you were working with Mayor's office on a task force, right? So tell me a little bit about the goals of that and what y'all were able to impact.
Yeah. You know, I still remember the first call I got asking, you know, to kind of lead it. And I was like, it was very apprehensive. We just started this company and kind of overwhelmed with, you know, all the things to be done. I was already not like seeing my wife, you know, coming home at like midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning every night. It's like literally working like on the whiteboard, trying to figure stuff out every night. You know, the great thing I think about the task force was one was, you know, the people who were part of it, the mayor and his support and vision. I think, you know, the things that we did there were really simple. We went through a journey as a task force. Amanda Edwards and I was probably like a strict teacher. I gave everyone like homework. People had to read books. People had to like learn, bring things to meetings, you know, just really focus on like a learning culture. But a lot of it was about just learning together and being, and I think like one of the big insights were, you know, being able to meet people where they were, realizing that like you're starting to bring all different pockets of the community together. And it's not about like just trying to dictate like, hey, here's these things that you have to go do. It's more of like letting folks go through that journey. And sometimes that means taking people outside of the city. So like we did that. We went to Chicago, went to Cincinnati, and those are transformative. Taking, you know, particularly I'll tell the story about Chicago. We go to Chicago, you know, Kevin Willer, who leads Chicago Ventures. He was founding CEO of 1871. And we toured 1871 and Matter, which is like the TMC of Chicago, you know, really launched by John Flavin and then Stephen Collins. And just this, it gave us like something tangible to see about like how you could organize and activate a community and how people work together. And it was a really great proxy, you know, for Houston, because the size of the city, the scale of the city, you know, bringing people together. There's a massive Fortune 500, you know, Fortune 1000 community in Chicago as well. There's a lot of similarities. And I think it made, you know, when we went up there, like folks were able to like, you know, understand and humanize these stories to understand, yeah, hey, we could do this too, or here's what's in it for us by doing so. So I think that was a big important piece. I think another part, you know, from the task force, you know, was one of the big learnings and being able to take like some data and read it back to folks, right? So like at the time, it's just like 2016, 2017, you know, the energy industry is not doing so well. And, you know, I think there's like a question about, all right, where are jobs going to come, you know? And there's some great data that comes out of the Kauffman Foundation, you know, that, you know, really points to jobs come from new businesses. You know, new job creation generally comes from new businesses. And, you know, it's a great, like, easy way to help folks understand the importance of why you need more new companies. And these companies that are driving, like, you know, or using technology generally have these outsized benefits of scale, but also create lots of high paying jobs. You know, so like if you're the mayor, if you're in different parts of the community, like that resonates. So like, hey, this is like, how do we do that? So it's going to help create, it's going to rise and lift the boats of so many people around the community. So, you know, I think like there was a lot of work being done. I think we were lucky that there were a lot of people that were both interested and curious, as well as passionate about wanting to figure that out. And I think people care deeply about our city. So, you know, I think that was just, you know, I give the mayor a lot of credit. I'm grateful for his leadership and partnership in that. So just to, you know, start to really vocalize a lot of these learnings and realize like, hey, this is these are things that are important for us to do as a community. So that was it was a really, you know, I think an important point for the story that we're telling. You know, when we look back on it, you know, whatever, 50 years, 20 years from now, whatever that is.
Yeah, no, I think it's very interesting. We're talking about a very specific point in time in Houston's history, like let's say like 2015 to 2018. And it's like I mentioned before, Houston's always been a very innovative city, but it wasn't happening in the same way as it is now and over the past few years. So I wonder, you know, from your perspective, why and how did this centralized effort happen? And Houston's had kind of false starts with developing an innovation ecosystem. Why did this period in time really hit the home run, at least for starting a better conversation about Houston innovation or Houston as an innovation hub?
Yeah, you know, I here's the way I'll answer this question. You know, one of the most important moments I think that happened through this, right? I mean, I think there's a lot of folks who are passionate about entrepreneurship. I'm one of them. There's a lot of folks out there I'm proud to call my friends, and you know, folks I usually spend a lot of time with. But I think one of the most important moments for Houston is when we got kicked in the teeth with the Amazon HQ2 bid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of different things going on around, you know, which site and where's it going to be and where's it going to be the Houston bid. And what happened was, if you recall, and I think the timing is like 2018 of this, I want to say something like that. And Amazon comes back with a short list of 20 cities in North America, and Houston isn't on it. And I remember being excited, not because of I don't have pride in our city, but because it was like, that was the world. That was the, like, you know, arguably the most innovative company in the world saying, no, thank you. Not that interested in your candidacy. I don't see you as a top 20 community that we'd want to even explore, even if, let's say, Amazon knew all along where they were going and what that meant to them. But I think that that was like kind of the gut punch that folks needed to like realize that, like, hey, this is an outside, you know, organization that we put all this work into, we put all this energy into, and they said, no, thanks. I think moments like that cause real reflection, right? Like failure like that, I think forces you to like ask different set of questions. I think that was a really important moment. I hope when we look back, it's something that, like, you know, lives with folks. It keeps a fire going about, like, hey, what happens like when, you know, this is either your image or you don't have the workforce or whatever it may be. But I think that was a really important moment that, like, you started to see maybe some other players start to rally around this idea of, like, you know, go Houston. Let's go do these things. So yeah, I think that was important.
I think so too. I think even on this podcast, I've said this, but to me, it always felt like, you know, Houston asked Amazon out on a date and got super rejected and now is working on himself to, like, you know, be like, you're going to regret that, you know, looking at Amazon, like, I'm going to make a comeback. You're going to wish you said yes to me that one time.
I'm grateful that they said no. Like, I thought that was the best thing. And again, like, I thought it just opened up, like, it just started a new, I don't know, gave people a different lens, a new conversation. Like, there were just so many things about, like, oh, it's going to be here. It's going to be there. And, you know, I think, like, we took some points for granted. Those things are important usually, like, when you look back in stories of, you know, an assumption that you thought was like kind of a fix that turned out to be a variable and changed the trajectory of something.
Yeah. I love that a failure can be a turning point.
Should be. It's your best opportunity to learn if you're honest with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about the history, but I want to talk about integrated capital, which is one of your a few focuses that you have right now. So tell me about that and your portfolio companies and your niche and what you kind of, your differentiating factor.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, fortunately, the focus is always on partnering with founders. You just get to do it through two amazing hats. So let's see, Integrated Capital, we launched that in early 2017. That was out of Station Houston. It was originally Station Houston Ventures and then rebranded it. It was really started, you know, Jessica Hart, myself, like, really kind of helped launch it off the ground with, you know, just some great mentors and, you know, turn investors and partners in that platform. And the mission of that is really, like, straightforward, but it's to partner with founders to help them realize their vision. And we think about that realization in two ways. You know, one is part of the journey and the other part is the endpoint. You know, the journey it comes down to, you know, how do you really unpack and understand, like, to get, like, more vivid about what the future looks like? And what's the plan and how do you get there through that journey? And then the end point is obviously, you know, want to go realize that. We want to make those worlds that, founders that we partner with, we get energized. We're inspired by them. We want them to happen. So, you know, Integrated Capital is a fundless venture capital firm. We make investments when we want to partner with founders. We've been fortunate to invest in 9 startups to date. We do them all through special purpose vehicles. So we're in the we're in the process of closing on our 9th deal. It'll be our 19th SPV. And, you know, some of the names in Houston are recognizable, like Lionguard or Greylog, CART, which started here in Houston as well, and Ambient. And then companies who are not here, like Luma Health and the Bay Area, and QuotaPath, that's between Philadelphia and Austin, and Gradient Works, which is in Austin, and Coupon in Dallas, that was acquired by PDI last year. And then another one that's coming soon.
Okay. Well, got to keep an eye out for that. What would you say your long-term overall vision for Integrated Capital would be? Is it to keep, you know, this mainstay support, or do you have, you know, loftier goals with where that goes?
You know, I think there's a lot of inspiration from, you know, just partly like the work we did at Station. I'm inspired by a lot of the work. You know, like one of my mentors is Keith Krewer, the Red House. I think Keith and Doug have done a great job of being another partner for founders here in town for many years. I think that there's an opportunity. You know, I think founders are always looking for the right partner. And I think, like, you know, you're looking for, like, what's that investor, you know, founder fit to go on that journey together. And I think, like, for the, you know, a lot of it comes down to, you know, how do you, like, continue to learn about, you know, what makes you a great partner or the right partner for each other, and figure out a way to, like, build the future together. I mean, that's really, that's what I want to do. That's what we want to do. I think it's about building great companies, building futures that inspire us, or that, like, really shift the way business gets done. Everything we do is around, you know, B2B SaaS. We have a digital health company. We have some companies in the revenue space, some on the IT and security space. You know, so there's some things, we're not like massive thematic investors. It's really about finding founders that we think are the right fit. And we look at founders who generally, like, or, you know, there's a term I think Mike Maples uses, like, learn it alls. They're like, they're not know it alls, they're learn it alls. They want to keep learning. And fostering a learning culture is, like, something that we believe in, of, like, how you could run, like, high velocity of learnings to go build the future.
So, kind of going off what you're currently focused on, I want to zoom out a little bit on the Houston innovation ecosystem and kind of what's happening now, since we've talked about the history of over the past several years. So what is happening in Houston now? What is the scene like now versus your Station days versus even before that? What's been enlightening to see in the progress that we've made?
Well, I'm probably most excited about what's happening at the Texas Medical Center. I'm super biased, because I'm part of the team here, but I'm super inspired by, like, what I think the future is going to look like and what I think that's going to mean for the community. I think that the key to a lot of these things, Natalie, is just everybody has a platform. You know, it's like, how do you give folks a platform to do stuff? How do you celebrate the founder? Make it more about the founder. And, you know, the more we could do that and really shine light on, like, the futures that founders see and their insights, you know, the things that they've figured out about the way the world is working and what's going to happen, you know, that's where so many things become possible. You know, Kamal Farid, who's an entrepreneur here in town, now runs a fund. Houston's a city that builds infrastructure to scale globally. I think we think about things, you know, like, really with this larger engineering mindset in order to scale. So, like, I kind of look at us as, like, this coil that just has all this this stored energy that's just waiting to be, like, really unleashed. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, that's, I don't know, for the present, I think, like, that's a big piece. For part two, I can't wait to talk about Texas Medical Center.
Yeah.
What I learned here and what I'm learning, you know, being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I like this vision of this coil that, you know, Houston is building, because I think that's something I've observed too. It's the infrastructure that we're building in the ecosystem now. But so what do you feel is missing from that coil? What do you feel like we're still developing? We have these holes to fill still as a, you know, really attractive innovation ecosystem.
You know, it's really, I think it's really simple. You know, one of the things that we used to think about is like the larger trinity as a founder is you need customers, you need capital, and you need talent, capability. Those are your three vitamin C's. It's talent. It's always talent. And it's about like corralling, you know, great talent. It's about like folks wanting to be part of something and the ability to do that. So like, I think one of the most unfair advantages for Houston that we could lean into where we need federal assistance, but it's about immigration. It's about like people coming here, getting the great, you know, the best people in the world to come here. Our city does a great job of welcoming people. It's welcomed me. It's welcomed so many folks. And I think like talent is the thing that is the most sustainable.
I know one missing piece that some people observe, and it really depends on who you talk to, is the access to capital. And so from your perspective, sitting on that side of the table, you know, what are some trends in venture capital happening? How has that affected Houston and what that really means for the local ecosystem?
Yeah, I think that over the last few years, we've seen the positive impact of the pandemic, which is it's changed the barriers to capital coming into different geographies. And I think that's sustainable. I think we've created new norms. We've created new behaviors of where capital will go. I think the way capital gets formed, you know, around the right types of partnerships is key, right? Like, so for what, you know, whether it's TMC or integrated, we think about like, how do we build strong foundations? How do we build like a real strong foundation of a company? So you could see a path of like, you know, building an investment thesis if you're a Series A or you're a growth stage investor to want to come in. So like I think the Sandy and Guillermo are doing a really great job of bringing more people to and Elise, I don't want to leave her out, but just great job at HX Venture Fund. Of bringing more top of the funnel to the city. And I think like the more that I'm on the boards of companies that are outside of Houston, it's opened up new relationships with investors and other places, which has been great. You know, there's great partnerships you build when you're all building together. And that's like exciting. So like I'm on the board of a company called QuotaPath, which has got like a really great point of view on the future of compensation and how that works and how they work with revenue organizations today. And if I look around the board of investors from Insight or from Tribe or from ATX or from Stage 2 Capital or HubSpot, it's opened up, you know, just new networks that create opportunities for founders in Houston. Or, you know, to lend those new networks to others. That's exciting. So I think that continues. I'd like to see more funds, launch here with very intentional strategies. Particularly, I think a lot of seed work or early stage work, you usually find them to be a little bit more geographically close. I don't think that's always the case. We're working on a deal that's not in Houston. We've done a bunch of seed deals, not in Houston, but I think like, it would be great to see that. So, you know, I think that's an opportunity and I'd love to see, you know, just more awesome operators turned investors either move here or do that. That would be great.
Well, believe it or not, we still have a lot to discuss, which we're going to do in a part two of this podcast. And so we'll join next week to discuss a little bit more with JR. So hopefully everyone will stay tuned.
Awesome. Thanks, Natalie.
Thanks for tuning in to the Houston Innovators Podcast. Next week, JR and I discuss in more detail his work with the Texas Medical Center.